That leads me into what I want to talk to you about today. We thought we'd have some extra time today. And, you know, when we're watching people be baptized, and I'm thinking about the fact that this process has been going on for a couple of thousand years. Think about the tradition that that is in the body of Christ. You know, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, go and make disciples. The key, what's the action word there? Go. We are a people that is sent. It's what the word apostle is rooted in, this idea of being sent somewhere to establish a new kingdom. In the Roman Empire, the apostle was the one that was sent into another place, basically to bring all the Roman values, all the Roman culture, all the Roman art, all the Roman architecture into the conquered place. And Jesus chose to use that word to describe those that were following him. They were his apostles. They were his sent ones. The church is a church on a mission. That's why part of our statement there, living the mission. We were commissioned to go and make disciples in every nation on the earth. That's the very nature of the church, is to be going all the time. It's not to become stagnant. It's not to be sit here and be comfortable every Sunday and enjoy a message, although hopefully that's part of it. But it's really about accomplishing something. It's about introducing a new king to people. What did Jesus, when he taught us how to pray, when he gave us the Lord's Prayer, he said, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a new king in town. And his kingdom has been spreading all over the earth. And the day will come when Jesus returns to rule and reign over his kingdom. And in the meantime, we, the church, bring this good news, this gospel, to the lives of other people, whether it's people in our neighborhood or people in the nations. And so we need to have a perspective of being on mission, going places, again, whether it's right down the street or all the way across the planet. Being missional is one of the most significant callings of the church. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them the things I taught you. So what do? We baptize, we teach, we grow in relationship, we find people's gifting and activate it in the kingdom of God. This mission is so important and so valuable. Don't get stuck in that trap of thinking that church is just a place you go or a club you participate in. It is the most important mission in creation, is the mission of the church. So what I wanted to do today is I just want to take the opportunity of the little bit of extra time that we have and interview some of our people that are connected with some of our international missions. I want to invite Sue Pacini up. Brandon Freitas, would you come up as well? I'm going to interview these guys today, and they're going to share with you some of their connection with worldwide missions. And I'm also want to inform you on a couple of things. One of the most significant relational connections that we have is with Paul Simpson and the Issachar Alliance. And there's so many different connections we have with those guys working all over South Africa, up the east coast of Africa. We have opportunities he just got back from Armenia and Myanmar and Pakistan. And so God is opening doors for Issachar Alliance, and we have a connection there. And one of the reasons that I have Brandon and Sue up here is Sue is connected, and do you say Heber or Heber? Heber, okay, that's what I thought. Pastor Heber in Mexico. And Brandon has a connection with Davy Zunda in Malawi. And you may recognize those names because we have raised some funding recently to help Heber drill a well in Mexico. And Sue's going to be sharing some details about that with us. And we also raised some funds for a motorcycle for Davy Zunda so he could travel around Malawi to the different churches he oversees. And we're going to get more. Look at that hot rod, huh? That's pretty cool. I honestly was kind of jealous when I saw that. Like, oh, I want a bright green and yellow bike. But anyway, I think it's really important for you to, when you have given, you've given your heart when you've given financially. The Bible teaches us that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. When you sow into these things, it's no small thing. These guys really suffer for resources. And when we as blessed Americans have the resources to sow into their ministries, we can make a huge difference for them. And you have made a huge difference in both these situations. And I want you to really realize that and understand that. So I'm going to take a few minutes and we're going to visit this morning until we run out of time, I guess. All right. Well, I want to introduce you first to Sue Pacini. And Sue has spent most of her adult life in missions. And so before we start talking about Pastor Heber, would you just tell us a little bit about how you ended up in the mission field, where you've spent missions? Can you give us that in a nutshell, Sue?
Okay, well, first of all, thank you. When I was a child, I just had an intense interest in other countries. I didn't read romance novels or adventure novels. I read about people in other countries. And when I was an adult, anytime there was a missionary speaking in any church in the area, I went out of my way to go and listen to them. I was just fascinated by missions. And a number of years ago, I was called to Latin America. I went to the Dominican Republic. I went to Nicaragua. I was in Costa Rica. And I counted the other day, I've made over 10 trips at least to Mexico to do missions trips. How I got to Mexico, which is right now my main interest, a good friend of mine, her name is Gloria, she sent a prayer request to a friend of mine. And I responded to her saying I was praying, and we began corresponding. And she invited me to come to Mexico to see her missions work, which was all over the whole country of Mexico. And 10 years ago, she had over 25,000 home Bible study groups that she had started from one Bible study.
Did you just say 25,000?
Yes. What she does is she had 12 people initially, this was over 50 years ago, come to her home for a home Bible study. She discipled 12 people for a year. She produced literature and what they call folletos, brochures, handouts. And those people then went and started their own home Bible study for 12 people. And by exponential growth, the church kept growing and growing. And then when one of the times that I went to go see her, she had divided Mexico into six areas because it had become too big for her alone. And one of her promoters in one of the main areas was Aber Gonzalez. And I met him through Gloria, and I was so impressed with his integrity, his commitment to the Lord, his leadership qualities.
Very good. Okay, so tell us a little bit about Heber. He was an executive. He was in the business world, and God called him to missions. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. He has a business administration degree. His wife is a registered nurse, and he had worked as an administrator for Coca-Cola of Mexico. And then Gloria asked him to come and work for her, which he did. And he actually took over her ministry for a year. But then he just has such a heart for evangelism and God that he wanted to go, as he told me, to a place where nobody had heard of Jesus or the Bible. And so he left her missions work, and he went to a place called Tacuba, Mexico, very, very isolated, tiny town in northern Mexico. If you know where El Paso is, you go 2 hours south of El Paso and then 3 hours west of Chihuahua, and that's where he's at, a very isolated area, descendants of the Apache Indians, and he started a church there. And then 2 years ago, he started a children's ministry, which has just really exploded. He has 20 to 28 kids every Saturday, and those kids know the Bible and they know the scriptures.
Oh, that's awesome. So how long has Heber and his family been at? What is his wife and kids' names?
His name is Eber. His wife is Angelina. His kids are Baruch and Caleb, but they have nicknames.
Cool. Okay, and how long have they been out there? In where they're at now?
About 5 years.
Okay. And so you've been in touch with Heber. He's been ministering to kids. He's got the kids program going on. And there's a couple of churches in the area he oversees as well. Is that correct?
Right. He started a church in Tacuba, and then a fellow pastor asked him to come down to a place called San Juanito, 50 miles south, to a town of about 10,000 people, and he has a church there now also. And in that town, he is, as we speak, he's evangelizing and trying to start a second children's church in that area.
Okay, so what is it like in terms of the people and the interaction? Is it like a native faith kind of situation? What's it like for the people there?
There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of superstitions, a lot of idol worship. It's been a tough area for him to evangelize because the people are so rooted in darkness. The area where he lives, the people have extreme poverty. They work seasonal jobs doing apple and oat harvest, and they have chickens and gardens, and that's how they survive. There's very little in terms of resources there of any kind. He's 90 miles from the nearest gas station, grocery store, or medical clinic.
90 miles, that's like Bozeman from here. Can you imagine having to go to Bozeman to get your gas and groceries? You have to bring gas cans with you just to get back. Okay, so this well situation came up, and you were just asking people to pray and consider giving towards that. What is the water situation there?
The water situation has been horrible. As you know, this last year there's been a severe drought in Arizona and New Mexico. He's right below those. And they have a town well there, but 3 months ago, actually 4 months ago, the well pump went out. And the town well, usually they turn it on twice a week. Eber fills a water tank, it's called a tinaco, on his roof. And then by gravity, they have water for washing and dishes and so forth. Well, the town's pump went out, and so they had no water at all. And the river, there's a small river in the town, it also went dry. So they had zero water for their home. They have chickens and goats and animals for food, and so he would drive 16 miles round trip to a little store where he would get water, bring it home in tanks for the animals. They had no water for washing, for laundry, for baths, for anything for them. They did buy bottled water for drinking, though.
Wow. Sounds like a very challenging place to be ministering. So if people want more information or connect more, I know that I receive emails from you with updates from him. Is there a way that others can get involved in that and possibly help out from time to time if they're aware of something? How would we do that?
What they could do is send an email to Pastor JR, and he could forward the email on to me.
That sounds good.
Or if you want, you can send an email to me. It's suepassini@gmail. Passini is P-A-S-I-N-I at Gmail, and I'll be glad to respond. The main thing I ask for is for prayers. He just has such a heart for the Lord and evangelize. I pray that the Escalita and San Juanito will just blossom like the one in Tacuba has. He's going to an area of extreme poverty, a lot of alcoholism and drugs, and he's targeting the poor kids in this area to bring them to the Lord. And what he does, he calls it Escalita, that's Spanish for little school. He has a Bible study, they have prayer, they have scripture memory, they have songs, and then afterwards there's an arts and crafts related to the Bible. And then he feeds all these kids a wonderful lunch, including ice cream, which they never get there. And they just love it, and they just keep coming.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, Sue, we really appreciate you connecting us with that situation, giving us opportunity to serve by giving. And just to hear that they've got water, because think about that, you guys. Twice a week they turn the well on, and then after a while the well pump doesn't work. Just think about that for a second. But because you were generous, they have a well with a pump right on their property, and they can deal with that. Well done. Go ahead, Richard. Yes. Awesome. All right, Mr. Freitas. You and I have been talking about Davey Zunda for several years now.
Yes, sir.
And we just had this opportunity to raise some funding for his motorcycle. Now, Davey is in the nation of Malawi.
Yes.
Can you just give us a bird's eye view of Davey and his family and what he's doing right now?
Yeah, so Davey is a part of an organization of churches out in Malawi. He has been with the Lord for about 15 years. Now I'm looking at his age, and he gave me his testimony. And he had struggled. He struggled with everything that we struggle here, just compounded with the rurality out there. And either it's a lot of rain, too much rain, and their crops can't grow, or it's no rain. And if you remember last year, There was a cyclone out there off the coast of Africa near Madagascar, and that cyclone, Fred, I think is what it was, it obliterated the towns that Davey reaches out to. And he sent me a lot of videos. Some were pretty disturbing, but he wanted me to just grasp that. And that is the environment that he is in out there. He has been sold out for God for, I said, about 15 years. And as JR mentioned, in Mexico, it's every country like this. Resources is the thing. They have no resources. So, you know, and that in and of itself is a challenge. But these people, Davey has a heart. His wife, Fashani, brings in some income with sewing clothes. So that's a big, that's his wife to the left. Davey is on the right with the helmet. In the middle is Bishop Elton, Davey's oversight. I mean, I'll talk a little bit about that after a bit. But they want to reach the masses. Like Eber, they have the heart for evangelism. And it is different when you're in a country like that, but the same gospel reigns supreme, right? Yeah. And they have been grasped by God, and they want to reach everybody they can in their area. It's just not as easy as driving down to, you know, the shelter downtown like we have or something. They don't have cars. I mean, they do have them out there, but it costs a lot of money. They call them transports, and he has to rent a car or pay like a taxi, and that is a lot of money in their dollar. And so any little bit that we give, he definitely makes it go a long way. I get a lot of pictures from him and texts on WhatsApp all the time, and it's amazing what they do.
Davey started out pastoring a church,
yes,
and then now he's overseeing a number of churches.
Yeah, so that's a great question. Sorry about that. He actually started out helping youth ministry with Bishop Elton. Bishop Elton wasn't the bishop at that point, but he was helping him with his ministry. Youth was the primary, and he even says it. He says, "Brandon, I love the youth. I want to be a youth pastor." But he's got other things in front of him right now. And so by just the way of being connected to Bishop Elton and all of the association of churches out there, he had been asked to lead some churches. And remember, these churches, some of them are 2-3 hours away from his house in Rumphi, Malawi, and they're like 10 to 15 people. But he goes regardless. It doesn't matter. He still goes. And he started out with 9 churches, which was about, I would say, 4 or 5 years ago. Just this week, on Friday the 12th, he messaged me and said, "Brandon, I am now over 15 more churches because the pastor had a stroke. And there's nobody else to take care of those people." And many of those churches were evangelized door-to-door. And if you have never done door-to-door evangelism, I encourage you to try it someday. It's very difficult. In America, it's like unheard of. We don't do this here, right? But it is. It's hard for us to do it. And he goes, it's better to do it door-to-door because they don't meet in mass, because it's hard to get everybody together. They don't have concert halls. They don't have a church like this size. So he does evangelism to the nth degree.
So that motorcycle has been really crucial because of his oversight of all these different,
yes,
churches, and now even more so,
yes,
that he's taken over,
yes,
these additional
the
ones.
Farthest church, so Rumphi is his home base. That building right there, I don't know, I think that's Elton's house. That's not in Rumphi. That's probably 40 miles away from Davey. So he doesn't even make it to Elton that often. But Davey's farthest church, he said between 2.5 to 3 hours,
wow,
from Rumphi. That's this is like every other day he's out there, if at all possible.
Yeah,
so gas goes a long way. He goes, it's so cheap. And, you know, on a motorcycle, in the rain, he has to stop. He can't just drive the bike all the time,
right,
because it's unsafe. And so he'll pull over. He says he'll try to find some shelter till the rain dies down. And sometimes the roads are washed out, literally. Yeah. There are no roads there. So,
So what we ended up, when Brandon and I started talking about Davey's situation, we figured that Paul Simpson and Leon Dasrath and the Issachar team would be better suited to help us understand what to do. And so we connected Davey and Elton with Issachar. And one of the things is that, like in Davey's situation, They need more leaders. They need people raised up that understand the Bible and can teach and preach, and that's why they're having to travel to all these places. And so you get an organization like Issachar, who we support a lot. They come in and do a lot of training of these guys. So Davey has been hungry for any information. I'm confident he's going to watch this video. He just soaks up all the stuff he can. He calls me Bishop JR. I feel like that should get me a hat or robes or something, don't you?
Yeah. We'll get you a collar. And
give me a collar or something.
No hat, though. They don't want to wear a hat.
Yeah, I haven't had the heart to tell him he doesn't have to call me Bishop yet. But that is culturally different for us, the way they operate.
Yes. With that, just a real quick a relational thing, you know. So my wife is the one that really connected me to Davey, and it all was through Facebook. I don't have Facebook, so he had been reaching out to her because we know some people from our old church that we were at in Pullman, Washington. And so it started, you know, several years ago, and it just birthed because he asked to connect to me, and I wasn't actually ready for that at that point. This was probably 2019, maybe 20, somewhere around there. And finally, God worked on my heart, and I started to reach out to him, and now he calls me, Brandon, you are my Paul, and I am your Timothy. And it's just a beautiful thing because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's just what he does, and God is in the middle of it all.
That's
and
awesome.
So it's just amazing. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So if people want to connect more with Davey's situation, is there social media, Facebook, email?
He has Facebook. It's interesting how they all have phones, you know. It's just a thing. The connection isn't the greatest out there, so he does welcome communications that way. If you want to give, we'll probably throw it through the church. So let me know. I'll let JR know and we'll figure that out. But those of you that are really into spreading Bibles, please let us know because I have notes here just from yesterday's communication. He said the hardest thing is the Bible. He wants to get Bibles out to them and it's in their language, which it takes a little bit of resources there and they're not cheap. Compared to what, you know, we can't buy like a little tiny Bible in English and give it to them. They need to have their language. But they have done that. And also Corn Maze is their big staple out there. That's the biggest thing for them. And they support a lot of elderly people with no families post-COVID that have lost dads that were the breadwinner. They also support lonely older folks that are just by themselves. And he sends pictures all the time. So if you want any more info, just let me know.
Good. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time to visit with me. I want to let you guys know, if you have a heart to connect with any of these situations, please visit with Sue or Brandon. And I just want to mention, I know there's a number of you here. I know Derek and Addie, Brad Rouse here. If you're involved with international missions of any kind, would you please just stand up where you are? Brad, would you stand up, please? Derek and Addie just got married, and they're involved with YWAM. And I believe they're headed to Jamaica sometime, probably in the near future. Brad's involved with Village South Africa, which is a lot of our South African connections where they hunt and then they also get involved in a Christian school and an orphanage there. Many of our own people have been there. Kelly has a very serious heart for international missions and a lot of connections that way. I would encourage you, if you have a heart for that kind of thing, there is opportunity for you to sow resources and possibly even see some of these places in person. I'm so glad God has opened the door. So we remember Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, their city, and Judea, which is that the Roman province they were in, and to the ends of the earth. We are a people on a mission for a kingdom that is coming onto the earth. So would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for these opportunities. God, I pray your blessing upon these people that risk so much, that risk their lives, that live in impoverished situations to bring the gospel to people that have never heard it. So Lord, I pray that you bless their work, encourage and strengthen them. And God, we just pray that you'd find us faithful in the stewardship that you give us in our part to play as a church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you would like to receive prayer, we'll have a team right over here on my left that would love to pray with you. Otherwise, go out and enjoy that early spring weather.